Hallelujah, hallelujah. Please remain standing or stand back up. All right. Thank you for such lovely words, Pastor B. Thank you, Pastor Jide, for the opportunity. You may be watching. All right. The reason why I wanted us to stand up was because I just want us to pray. Thank you, Jesus. This is an anointed service, you can tell. God has been moving. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The book of Mark chapter 4, verse 21, real quick, or verse 22, says, "For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed. Whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open." So whatever is in our lives in which we don't have answers for, the Lord is actually saying, it's meant to be disclosed. You are meant to know. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Consider carefully what you hear. Jesus continued, "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them." There are many reasons why in a meeting like this, things happen for some people and things don't happen. There are many reasons. And that's not my message today. But Jesus is saying here that to the degree to which your ears are open and you are listening, actively listening, the measure you put in is the measure you're going to get back. I want us to pray today that you've heard stuff already. It has already started. As we continue, Father, open my ears. Help me to focus. Help me to hear you. Can we pray? Make it personal. Lord, I want to hear. Circumstances in my life that I don't have answers for, that I don't know, that is hidden, that's meant to be disclosed. Open my ear. Help me to hear what your spirit is saying to me as an individual. Help me to hear what your spirit is saying about my family. Help me to hear what your spirit is saying about my church. Help me to hear what your spirit is saying about my nation, about the United States, wherever I am. Lord, open my ear. I want to hear you. Father, I want to understand. Let it be clear. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. My Father, my God, you're a good God. I mean, who else would say whatever is hidden is actually meant to be disclosed? It's actually an advantage. That is you. You don't want us to ever be ignorant. No, you want us to know. Father, I pray today as I speak, let me speak as your oracle. Father, as the word goes out, let your people take the word literally as it is, the word of God, that it may profit them. Father, I pray, Lord, for understanding, wisdom, light, healing, deliverance, salvation. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. You may sit down. Thank you for indulging me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I believe I have a word for us today. Let me see. Okay, we have 40 minutes. I have a lot of scriptures. But we'll be fine. This is going to be awesome. Okay, there's a gentleman by the name Jeroboam. I'm not sure most of us know him, except a Bible student like me. You're like, I know this guy. But it's a fascinating story. We're going to read about him in a second. 1 Kings 11, verse 26 to 38. I want us to kind of read through. And the reason why, if you don't know the name, is because this guy, I think, just blew it. This guy will have been a guy whom, if I say David, everybody knows David. I mean, even people who don't believe God say, oh, David versus Goliath. I mean, they use it so figuratively. You know, this will have been this guy's story. So let's go. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 26 to 38. It's a fascinating story. Unfortunately, also, it's a little bit of a sad story when you kind of see what God had in plan. So, quick backstory, just to give us a background. So, David was king. David died, and his son Solomon became king. Wise guy. Probably one of the guys that had, you know, the most wisdom until Jesus arrived on the scene. And somewhere along the line, I mean, I remember if you've been following Bible study, I think I did a teaching 2 weeks ago about this guy, just his own issue was he just had issues with foreign women. He just couldn't. That was just his issue. We all have issues, but this guy's issue was just, he just couldn't help himself. So even though God had appeared to him twice and God had warned him, he just wouldn't listen. So God reluctantly, and that's the way God deals with us. He gives you weights and weights and weights. Reluctantly now had to take the kingdom from him or from that line and offer it to this man, Jeroboam. And we're going to start the story from verse 26 of 1 Kings 11. It says, also Jeroboam, son of Nebat, rebelled against the king, against Solomon. He was one of Solomon's officials, an Ephraimite. His mother was a widow. I mean, God just delights in, you know, look at that. David was a shepherd boy. This guy was just pretty much a nobody. His mother was a widow, so already lost his father. But God had a plan for him. Verse 27, here's the account of how he rebelled against the king. Solomon had built terraces and had filled in the gap of the wall of city of David, his father. Now Jeroboam was a man of standing. And when Solomon saw how well the young man did his work, young people in the house, do your work well. He put him in charge of the whole labor force of the tribes of Joseph. About that time, Jeroboam was going out of Jerusalem, and Ahijah, I hope that's the right pronunciation, the prophet of Shiloh, met him on the way, wearing a new cloak. The two of them were alone out in the country, and Ahijah took hold of the new cloak he was wearing and tore it into 12 pieces. Then he said to Jeroboam, take 10 pieces for yourself. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. See, I am going to tear the kingdom out of Solomon's hand and give you 10 tribes. But for the sake of my servant David and the city of Jerusalem, which I have chosen, out of all the tribes of Israel, he will have one tribe. I will do this because they have forsaken me and worshipped the foreign gods, and have not walked in obedience to me, nor done what is right in my eyes, nor kept my decrees and laws as David, Solomon's father, did. But I will not take the whole kingdom out of Solomon's hand. I have made him ruler all the days of my life, of his life, for the sake of David, my servant, whom I chose and who obeyed my commands and decrees. I will take the kingdom from his son's hands and give you 10 tribes. I will give one tribe to his son so that David, my servant, will always have a lamp before me in Jerusalem, the city where I chose to put my name. So look at God going through the original plan. Look at God now. Was Saul. If you know the story, 1 Samuel chapter 10. And then Saul blew it. So God had to look for somebody else. Then he found David. He said, finally I found one guy. Okay. So he said, David, it's going to be you. David at some point now was having a good time. The Lord had blessed him so much. He's like, man, I'm living in a palace and God's presence is in a tent? What? Nah. The God that gave me this, how can he? No. We got to do something. So he starts making preparation. Now, notice that building a temple. A prophet didn't tell him. It was not in the law. It was not in the Ten Commandments. Nothing. It was his own idea. And God honored that. God said, I get it. You want to do it? I'm happy you want to do it. But in my scheme of things, I have to give your son something to do. So it's going to be your son. It won't be you. But God then, this is all in 2 Samuel chapter 7 to verse 1 to 17. God then promises David, I will build you a dynasty. Your throne will be forever. God promised him that. Your throne will be forever. That is where Jesus comes from, that line. So God promised him simply because he decided, I'm going to give to God. So when people are struggling, talking about tithing, how much to give to God and all those things, do you know that it is an opportunity? It's something you get to do. Don't blow it. There are rewards attached to it. David was going over and beyond. He wasn't saying, God, oh, this, you've blessed me 10%. Abraham did 10%. Jacob 10%. I'm doing 10%. No. He looked and said, man, God has been good to me. How can I impress this God? So God was moved. God was impressed. Said, you know what? I'll give you a throne forever. So, fast forward now. God has promised. So even though the son is messing up, God still has to figure out it. Since we as human beings have much hoops. But God is up to the task. Tell your neighbor, God is up to the task. He can deal with my mess. So all that stuff, God has to figure, okay, you know what? I promised David, even his son is messing up, and we have to deal with his son. But okay, we'll keep the kingdom going one way or the other. So God then decides, I'm going to tear the kingdom in two. Or split Israel in two. Judah, one tribe, remains in David's line. But then I found this Jeroboam guy. And verse 37 of 1 Kings 11, if you're still with me. However, as for you, Jeroboam, I will take you. You will rule over all that your heart desires. I mean, look at God. You'll be king over Israel. So there are 12 parts. God is giving you 10. If you do whatever I command you and walk in obedience to me and do what is right in my eyes by obeying my decrees and commands, as David my servant did, I will be with you. I will build you a dynasty as enduring as the one I built for David and will give Israel to you. I titled this message, The Opportunity of a Lifetime. God called this guy out of nowhere and said, I'm going to give you Israel. You know, I listened to it's passed on now. I listened to him a lot. His messages are still around. The evangelist Randall Bunke, and in one of his messages, he just said it randomly. He said, do you know, in my ministry, I guess somehow God told him, he was the third person. Meaning, God had asked person one. Person one either said, no, I don't know what it was that he said. Person two. Until finally God found person three. Because the Lord is always looking. The eyes of the Lord, scripture says, run to and fro. Who do we give the opportunity to? Who will do my will? I'm here to tell us today, we all have the opportunity of our lifetimes in front of us. Life may seem crazy, but trust me. if you look at it the way God looks at it, you are actually having, you actually have the opportunity of a lifetime. So you may ask me what happened to Jeroboam. If you haven't read the story, this is good. I mean, I like Old Testament stuff, stories. Interesting stories. It's like, wow, that happened. So it happened. We're not going to read. It happened as God said. All of a sudden, Solomon's son became king. As usual, he, you know, as they say, he met money. I think Nigerians say that. He met money, meaning that he inherited his wealth. So he's not, he was always rolling with the boys. So he got there, became king, and the people of Israel said, you know what? Because by the time Solomon was ending, the grace of God had kind of left him. So all the wisdom he had before now, all the way money was just coming anyhow, things were going down. So now he had to force the Israelites to work harder and all that stuff. So they came and said, you know what? Your father's died now. This work is too much. This is just too much. You got to do something. So he said, give me 3 days. I'll come back to you guys. Let me go ask for some advice. Good. You should ask for advice. But be careful who you're asking advice from. So he went to his boys. Actually, he went to his father's, I think his father's people first. The guys, I mean, you know, the usual thing. We see that all the time. Even in the United States, when a new president comes in, everybody comes to kiss the ring. You ask advice, this and that, this and that, this and that, this and that. Okay. So he asked those guys. They told him, yes, your father was really mean. Just tell them, you know, we're going to make, the country's going to be easy. We're going to, you know, we'll figure a way out. You won't have to work so hard. So I said, okay, listen. So we went to talk to his boys, the boys that have been with him all this while. The boys said, you have to show that you are the king. You have to. So, of course, he went there and showed them he was the king. And the guy said, oh, really? One of the favorite statements in the Bible, in the Old Testament. To your tents, O Israel. Some guy would just say it. And everyone said, that's it. We are done. We don't have. So they rebelled. And, yeah, somehow they found Jeroboam. And they said, Jeroboam is going to be their king. Now, to just show that God really had a plan for this guy, they tried to attack. Solomon's son, now Rehoboam, got people together to try and attack. And the Lord sent a prophet to say, don't do it. That is from me. And they obeyed. So already God was setting up Jeroboam. In the same way Solomon had peace in his reign, nobody was fighting him, God had started with Jeroboam. To even make this dynasty thing, meaning along the line, if you fast forward in the story, okay, no, let me get you a little bit before I fast forward. So Jeroboam becomes king, and then all of a sudden now, he starts thinking in himself. These people, when they want to worship God, go to Jerusalem to worship. If they go there, they may seek the king, the other king, and decide, this is the real king. That guy is not the king, and they may kill me. So he begins to reason with his mind. How many of us, God gave you the opportunity. You are where you are now today. Not because of your power and strength, God just opened the door. You are now thinking that you can maintain the job by your own wisdom. Yes, what God is asking you to do is impossible. I mean, that's God, because it's Him. But you always rely on Him, not the way you are thinking things through. So he fell for that, and then, of course, he blew it. He went idol worship, set up his own temple. You don't have to go to Jerusalem anymore. You can worship God here. Set up all sorts of things. And God was mad. I mean, obviously God was not pleased. And that's how he lost the opportunity of a lifetime. So much so, I would say I was going to fast forward. one of his children was sick. And all of a sudden he remembered, oh, there's a prophet who told me I'm going to be king. Sent his wife there. Go and ask that prophet, what's going to happen to my son? So I got there, the prophet said, your son is going to die. And this is God. And God said, he's going to die because in that family, that is the only guy in which there's anything good in. Which tells me, God already had a plan for him. He was already giving him a son. Just like David, God already given David Solomon. God already gave that to him. But he blew it. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll say it again. The Lord has opportunities for us. Don't blow it. Please do not blow the opportunity of a lifetime. You might ask me, okay, how is Jeroboam's story close to mine? That's just a guy in the Old Testament who God actually said is going to be a king. I don't feel like a king right now. I don't have a throne. I'm far from Israel. If I don't want to be near Israel right now. Oh my God. When they are done, then I can. Life. I remember a time. This is just by the way. We're having a discussion with my mom about one of her birthdays, and we're asking her what she wanted. And she said, hey, I want to go to Jerusalem. Ah. And then one of those times then, I think somebody threw one bomb. So I said, you know what? I think you can wait. Oh, my God. But let's pray for Jerusalem. Let's pray for Israel. Please keep them in your prayers. God has a plan for that region. Yes, both for the Israelis and the Palestinians. Yeah, God has a plan for both of them. And it shall surely come to pass in the name of Jesus. In the book of Luke, chapter 22, verse 29 to 30, Jesus speaking says, and I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. This was the Lord speaking to his disciples. Revelation chapter 1, verse 6 says, and God has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I submit to you, whether you feel like it or not, or you look like it or not, as long as you are a born-again child of God, you are a king. You are a priest. Scripture says, for you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That's the way God sees you. As a king. The issue with us sometimes is the way we see kingship is very different from the way God seeks kingship. In fact, Jesus said, the Gentiles, they lord it over them. That's the way they see it. But he said, not so you. You serve. Jesus went around. When Jesus was on earth, was he king? We're not convinced. Okay. Let me give you a term that you're used to. Was he the king of kings? Okay. So at least the king of kings is a king, right? Okay, so he was a king. When Pilate asked him, are you the king of the Jews? What did Jesus say? He said, you have said so. Kings know that they are king. It's the identity. You don't have to. I don't have to go around now convincing myself I'm a black man. I will seem crazy. I mean, there's a time I didn't know I was black. No, no, we all didn't know. When you were a young kid, you didn't know, right? When you were, what, 1 year old, 2 year old? But as you grew, you knew. All right, let me leave that alone. Just leave that, because I know I can open a can of worms right there. But you get what I'm trying to say, which is, you know. And that's the job of the scriptures. That's what the Lord is trying to tell you, let you know. You are a king. And for those of, I mean, sometimes, and this I think was the issue with someone like Saul. He didn't know, because that was a new concept to them. The book of 1 Samuel says, Samuel now actually have to write a book and say, this is what the king is supposed to do. This is what the rights and the things are. And he wrote the book and put it there. So you may say Saul didn't know. But we are supposed to know. The Bible says it clearly, what we are supposed to do. Jesus said, this is how you rule in my kingdom. You serve. It's by service. Romans chapter 5 verse 17 also says something. It says, for if because of one man's trespass, Adam's sin, death reigned through that one. The Apostle Paul was saying, once man sinned, death was just, everybody dies. Death is reigning. In fact, that's the last enemy to go. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Through that one, much more surely with those who receive God's overflowing grace, unmerited favor, and a free gift of righteousness, reign as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. So in the same way that death reigned, as long as you receive God's grace, you become born again. You receive the free gift of righteousness and become in right standing with God, you will reign as a king. As I said earlier, in the kingdom of God, we reign by serving. But we also reign by making the most of every opportunity that we have. The book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 16 says this. I think it's probably up there. Okay, I'll read from there. It says, be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. I thank God for Pastor Jide. That's what an apostle does. They see the vision and they cast it. If you notice, for most of January, he has been on how to live wisely. That has even continued in our Bible study series right now, Wisdom for Living. So be careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Newsflash, the days will always be evil. In your wisdom, you can't say, oh, the stock market is crashing today. I'm not going to invest. Let me hold my money. The stock market will always go up and come down. Go up and come down. Go up. And if you've been around enough, you see that. It will go up today, come down tomorrow. Up and down. But a wise person invests across. They asked Warren Buffett once. They said, why is it? They asked him, the way you made money is so simple. How come nobody's as rich as you? Simple answer. It seems simple. He said, because nobody wants to get rich slowly. He just kept investing. The days are evil. Don't worry. Put the money in. 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 Over time. That's why it was when he was an old man. All of a sudden, oh, Warren Buffett's the richest guy. We want the fast money. May God help us. So, make the most of the opportunities that we have. Recognize opportunity. It tends to be hidden, to be disguised. What opportunities has God placed in your life? Is it a dream? Did you dream of something? And it just looks like, it's a dream. I don't know what to make of this. Joseph had a dream. There was nothing in the dream to show it was even God. He just had a dream. But he took advantage of the opportunity. Please don't be like Esau. He had an opportunity. Let me read that. Hebrews 12. Verse 16 of Hebrews chapter 12. Says, see that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. Even though he sought the blessing with tears, he could not change what he had done. What do you have in your hand? It's an opportunity. Are you in the midst of a challenging situation? It's an opportunity. Joseph was in Potiphar's house as a slave, a favorite son. But he saw it as an opportunity. You know what? I can do well here. What can I do here? Okay, we can organize this place. In short time, he became the head slave. We're laughing. And I get the laughter. But this guy in that household had access to everything except the man's wife. And the man's wife was even about to give it to him on the platter of gold. Until he gave himself brain, or gave himself sense. Yeah. Next thing, okay. He winds up in a prison cell. Again, opportunity. Service. It was going around helping people. Oh, what's wrong with you today? At work, are you known as the person who cares for others? Who's actually interested in people? Those are opportunities. People are opportunities for God to show himself strong. To show his love. Remember, they can't see him, but they can see you. Have you been given a prophetic word? Jeroboam got this word from a strange man. They happened to just be walking together. I mean, you're walking with someone and he just comes, takes his shirt, and tears it, and gives you 10. And says, hey, God says this is going to happen to you, and walks away. But at least he ran with it. For some time, he ran with it. I have a question for us, at least believers here. This is a church of the Holy Spirit. What prophetic word are you sitting on? What has the Lord told you about your future that you are sitting on?
And you're like, the person that told me, that person's a little crazy. That's how they do. Trust me. I don't understand prophetic people myself. Even though they say I'm one of them. They do some, I'm like, can you just make it, you know? All right, don't let me mention names. Let me just leave that alone. You know them. I mean, you know prophets in this house. You know, we can, okay, let me put myself in the middle. We can be very interesting at times. You know, they speak a language you don't even understand. Speaking in tongues. And then they say a few things and then they just walk away. You're like, what am I supposed to do with this? They don't even ask you, does it make sense to you sometimes? And then as you go along, all of a sudden you just see that, wow, God starts to minister to you, start to tell you stuff. You're dreaming, things are happening, another person comes to you or another weird prophet walks up to you and says the same thing. So, have you been given a prophetic word? It's an opportunity of a lifetime. Do you have a gift that is lying dormant? Are you in a circumstance that screams opportunity? You are single. That's a very good season in your life. I'm married. That's a very good season in my life. But seriously, you are unburdened by a lot of things. You can decide today, I want to go to Japan. Just work hard, get some money together, get on a flight to Japan. Nobody's going to ask you too many questions. You can do that. In the same way, you can build yourself up in your most holy faith. You can begin to learn. You can begin to do all these things. So, circumstances in our lives, there may be times God keeps you there for a while because he's doing something. He wants you to learn something. See it as an opportunity. See it as an opportunity. Don't let the opportunity go to waste. Seize it and run with it. Now, as far as opportunity is concerned, I believe there's something the Lord wants us as Christians to be very particular about, to not miss those opportunities. And it's in Colossians chapter 4. I'll read that real quick. From verse 2 to 6, it says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. This is Paul speaking to the Colossian church. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Outsiders here mean those who are outside of the faith, unbelievers. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. View your relationships with unbelievers as opportunities. God has you there for a purpose. Now, going back to Jeroboam, the Lord had a plan for Israel. I'm going to set up another kingdom with Jeroboam as the head. This will be David's line. This will be Jeroboam's line. An everlasting dynasty. Obviously, one line remained the same. The other one did not. Because in God's plan, we still have a role to play. We are not robots. We are people whom God is relying on to do some of these things. So we're here for a kingdom. We're here to spread God's kingdom. Please view relationships with unbelievers at work, at home, everywhere we go, as opportunities to preach the gospel, to be a witness. And the Lord is saying, how do you do this? Be wise in the way you react. Be wise in the way you deal. Scripture says, let your light so shine before men, that he may do what? See your good deeds and give praise to God. How are you at work? Are you the person who nobody wants to talk to? How are you at home? Are you a good Samaritan? Are you known for good deeds? Can you love your neighbor as yourself? Please see unbelievers as God sees them. Luke chapter 15. God, three parables there. The way God sees. The parable of the lost coin. People are valuable to God. Money, value. The parable of the lost sheep. Sheep are largely ignorant. They don't know. They get lost easily. Harassed. They have no clue. That's what it is. Unbelievers absolutely have no clue. And lastly, the parable of the lost son. They're actually family. God wants them back. See them that way. Before I close, I want us to think of something. As we are praying in ministers' thing today, one of the prophets, this is what I keep saying, gave a word. She just walked away. Well, she didn't walk away. She was there in the meeting. You know, but before she gave the word, the Lord was talking to me about something. Because as I was, you know, you prepared and all that stuff. And the Lord said, do you know what was missing in Jeroboam's life that may have helped him? If you look at the story very well. When David was called to be king, what happened? Look at the story. Someone was in the house. They anointed him. The Holy Spirit came. Jeroboam's story. Did you say any of that? No. Notice that. So you may say, hey, you're asking me to be nice at work. You have not met my people before. Trust me. Oh. I'm sure that my healthcare ministry people are here. Human beings can be the most, oh my God, they can drive you nuts. Ah, there are times Holy Spirit has to tell me, you're a Christian, you know. Yeah. But that's what I just said, Holy Spirit. When you're about to go off the bend, boy, come here. So that was the difference. The Holy Ghost. There's no record of him being anointed. He got a prophetic word. There's no record of him being anointed. Nothing. He just came. And if he had enough sense, if he had been in there praying, of course the Lord would have given him the Holy Spirit to help him do his job, which was what David had. Now, warning for my spirit-filled Christians. If you are not listening to the Holy Spirit, you can still blow it. Saul was anointed. The Spirit was on him. I mean, we have a different thing that because Spirit lives in us. But the Spirit was on him. And he still blew it. But the chances of success are increased tremendously if the Holy Spirit is with you. So I'll round up by saying, I'm sure you've heard me, and the Lord has been talking to you. What opportunities has the Lord brought your way? They may seem disguised. They may not even seem like opportunities. God may be stretching you. But please, I beg you, it is an opportunity. Act right. Seize the opportunity. use the opportunity that God's kingdom may be proclaimed and his name may be honored. Can we rise up? Can you just talk to God in the next few minutes that we have? Whatever area, whatever opportunity the Lord has shown you, whatever circumstance you are going through, that may be rough, that may be tough, maybe you need more of the Holy Spirit. Is there something you're not clear about? You need clarity. Ask him. Talk to him. Make this personal. You don't want to miss out. Scripture says at the end of days, those who lead many to salvation will shine like stars, will receive their reward. If the Lord has been talking to you about the opportunities to bring others into the kingdom, ask for more grace. How to live right, how to approach, what to say, how to answer. In Jesus' name. We never want to leave this kind of things without giving people the opportunity. The opportunity of a lifetime. If you know you are not saved, you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life, or you did at some point, but you've strayed away, this is a time to make it right. At the end of time, it won't be funny when you look back. Now we can look back at Jeroboam's life and, you know, we can say, hey, he blew it. You don't want to blow it. If you're in that category, please. Raise up your hand that we may pray with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I commit this once to you. Lord, you said anyone who comes to you, you will not in any way cast out. Just speak to God. Ask God to forgive you of your sins. Make a prayer of commitment that you're turning from your sins, and you are making him Lord of your life. Ask him to come and save you and include you in his kingdom. Father, I thank you for this once. Lord, as they've committed themselves to you, or recommitted themselves to you, Father, fill them with your spirit, take away all their sins, make them right with you. And Father, keep them in your kingdom. Use them to bring others into your kingdom. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, for as many as have prayed concerning the opportunities in their lives, Father, I ask in the name of Jesus, Lord, the grace to seize the opportunity, to be like Jacob, to persist, to pursue until they overcome. Father, I ask that you give them in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask, Lord, that at the end of time, no one under the sound of my voice, including me, the preacher, will have any cause to look back and regret, but rather say, thank you, Jesus, for giving me the opportunity and allowing me to seize the opportunity and make the most of it. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed.